Bible reading is 1 Peter 3, verses 15 to 18, and can be found on page 1219 of the Church Bibles. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning we are thinking about the cost of sacrifice and that reading from Genesis chapter 22. And you might like to have that open in front of you. The Bible's in the pews just there. And as we usually do, I'm going to pray for us this morning as we come to think about God's word together. Let me pray. Father, this is quite a challenging part of your word, this encounter between Abraham and God with Isaac tagging along. Lord God, help us learn from what it is you want to teach us today. Help us see the cost of sacrifice and the wonderful swap of the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as I mentioned earlier, this is an all-age service today, so we are all in together with the boys and girls as well, and that means it'll be just a little bit shorter than normal, but it's all good. From my point of view, we're thinking, aren't we, about dads and children, and children can be very trusting, can't they, of their mothers and fathers. You know, dads can do almost anything with their younger kids if they are there before them. You can pretty much shovel anything you fancy into the little child's mouth, and they won't normally object. It just normally goes in. That's my experience anyway. And little kids will jump into the deep end of the swimming pool if dad is there to catch them. They just sort of launch themselves and off they go. No thought of any danger. They'll follow you onto an aeroplane and sit by your side for, you know, a few hours in the air, not thinking for a moment how on earth this aeroplane is hanging around in the sky, how it all works, what keeps it going. They don't bother about any of that at all. As long as daddy's there, it's great. Even though they've no idea. Why do they do all of those things? Well, because they trust their father, don't they? They know their dads and they trust them. For little people, having dad around means everything will probably be okay around here. Well, today we are meeting another dad and another son, and that is Abraham. Young Isaac, who went along with him, and we meet the God of Abraham. Perhaps that is the big news of today, this encounter which makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable because of the really difficult thing that God asks Abraham to do, and that is to give back to God the son that he loves. And it leaves us asking questions, doesn't it? As that passage was read, I wonder if you felt a little bit uncomfortable at times just hearing some of those things that were going on. Asking yourself perhaps a question like this: what sort of God is it that asks a loving father to give up his only son? Well, we're going to begin with a quick recap of the story so far, because every child is precious, none so more so than Isaac. And remember these big promises that God had made to Abraham many years ago now, 25 or so years back, big promises that were made. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation, a great people one day. I'm going to give you a wonderful place to live in. And your family is going to be a blessing for every family on the earth. Abraham, you're going to be a very blessed man along the way." But for those things to happen, especially the first one, Abraham was going to need a son. A son and an heir, someone to carry on the family line. And that just seemed impossible, because Abraham, by now, was an older man. Sarah, his wife, was an older lady. God had encouraged them to keep trusting. Hang on in there, Abraham. Hang on in there, Sarah. A child will come along one day. In fact, God met them again, and he said to Abraham, your children one day will be as many as stars in the sky. You'll have a whole galaxy as your family. That's how many there will be. But then, do you remember, grown-ups, this is not the children, because they weren't here a couple of weeks ago. You were in your other group. We came across that terrible mistake that Abraham and Sarah made. They decided to have a baby through Sarah's slave girl, Hagar. And the baby was called Ishmael. He came along, but God said, no, that's not the baby I had planned for you. But despite everything, God hadn't given up on Abraham. Last week, age 99, the baby finally came along. A miracle baby, born at a time when nobody was expecting him to come along. Baby Isaac was born. So at last, here is the son, here is the heir, and the promise can start again. We can roll on into the next generation. Phew, we all sort of rub our foreheads. There's the answer we were all looking for. But now, God raises another question. Have we got Abraham's faith? Because Abraham meets with God, and God asks Abraham to do the impossible. If you've got your Bible there, it's verse number one. Have a look there with me. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. And you say, you what? What is God doing? What is he up to? What is he asking? Isaac is this most precious child. He's the answer to the promise. And now God's asking for him back. Take your only son and give him back to me. The writer says this is a test in verse 1, but it still makes us feel on edge, doesn't it? Uncomfortable. Why does God want to test people? Well, I think the test goes something like this. Has Abraham got the faith to trust God even when he doesn't know how things are going to turn out? Is he going to go with God's plan even though he doesn't know the end of the story? Well, it is incredible what happens next, because Abraham doesn't hesitate. He goes with God's plan, and he does as God tells him. It's verse 3 there in our Bibles. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham does, doesn't he, as God asked him. He gets a few things together, and then he sets off. He gets the food and the water. He gets servants and a donkey. He gets the wood for the fire. Oh, and don't forget Isaac. And that's the difficult bit, isn't it? And now it's time for a very long walk. 3 pretty miserable days for Abraham, a horrid time, facing what he thinks is the end of the story. But even when they get there, there's still a glimmer of hope for Abraham. You see what he says? His words to his servants, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. You see, right there is Abraham's faith. That even now, despite everything, God has got a plan to save. Abraham's faith enough to give to God the most precious thing in the world, his beautiful baby son. To go with God, even though he can't figure out the end of the story. To obey God's command over and above his own preferences or desires or things he thinks are right. Oh, that we would have faith like Abraham. Because maybe we've known a horrible time too, I'm sure many of us have, when it felt like we were somehow being tested by God. He was testing our faith too, asking us to do a really difficult thing, or walk through a very difficult path, or finding ourselves in a difficult situation so that so that we might learn to lean on our Heavenly Father too and learn to trust him in the same way that Abraham trusted him. See, Abraham had that sort of faith, didn't he? Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I know you are God and I know you are good, and I'm trying to learn to trust you, even when it's hard. Well, the drama continues as we get to verse number 6, and we need some props at this point. Let me read the verse for us. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," and the two of them went on together. So, well, we've got most of the things here already. Just going to move that over that side. Got the wood. Okay, it's a token of the wood. But we've got the wood. We have the knife. Careful, it's sharp. Not really.
And we have the fire.
Fire on a stick.
Today.
We'll pop that back in there for now. So we've got everything we need. Well, have we got everything we need? There's something missing. Isaac spotted the problem, didn't he? "Dad, where's the lamb?" And again, Abraham replies by faith, doesn't he? "My son, God will provide." Sounds a little bit evasive, doesn't it? If you knew what Abraham knew when he said that. Maybe, but perhaps even now, that faith in Abraham is coming to the fore. God can sort this out somehow. I don't know how. I really don't know how, but look, God's got this. Can I trust him in it? Well, it turns out trusting God was the right thing to do, because this turns out to be our salvation story. God does have a plan to rescue young Isaac, his only son. Do we know God's provision? The story reaches its dramatic conclusion. Let's hear again verse number 9. When they reached a place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You see, with that knife in hand, we can hardly bear to watch what happens next, can we? This is like one of those 18 things that we don't want to have in a kid's service at all, because it's just awful, the prospect of what's going to happen next. But do you see how God provides? An angel of the Lord says, "Stop! Don't do any more. Stop right there." The angel of the Lord called out to Abraham from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham, stop. Don't do it. God has seen your faith. You can put the knife down for a moment. You were willing to give up Isaac, the most precious thing you have in the world, and the test is complete. But now what? Now what indeed? The Lord provides a substitute. He makes a swap. Because there's a thicket nearby, and Abraham, sure, he heard something. Meh. Did you hear that? A ram caught by its horns. Oh, there it is, look. Hiding in the thicket. Here he is. God has provided, you see. And so Isaac is taken off the altar and the lamb is placed upon it. And Abraham does what he needs to do. Again, it's kids' service. We're going to stop there. We don't need to go any further. We know what happens next. Abraham doesn't need to be told what to do. He makes the sacrifice. He burns up the offering before Abraham and Isaac, hand in hand, back down the mountain. But we have to ask, don't we? What on earth? What on earth is going on here? What is God trying to teach us? What was he trying to teach Abraham? What was he showing to Isaac? Well, I think it goes a bit like this. These events, they point us forward to God's big plan for salvation that's going to come along at the other end of the Bible. And I think it goes a bit like this. Just a short way into the first book in Genesis, we're introduced to this idea of a substitution, of a swap, of one being sacrificed in the place of another. And that goes a bit like this. Here are two people, and here they are, swapping places, one in the place of the other. An idea that developed through the Old Testament, through the law, and then reached its fulfillment in the life and the death of the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus became that lamb who was slain. Just like little Isaac, it could be then unbound and set free. Because God had provided. And so going back to that question, what sort of God is this? But it turns out he's the God that doesn't ask anything of Abraham that he's not prepared to do for himself. That's the sort of God he is. He's a God who makes a way by sending his only son into the world to pay the price for our sins so that he could die in my place on the cross. This verse from Romans 8:32, God who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with all things, freely give us all things? A God who did not spare his own son. You say, young Isaac, he was spared in the end because of a substitute. But God did not spare his own son. This is the God who is for us, even in the really difficult things in life. The God who is with us in those hard times. Sending Jesus into the world was a sacrifice of great cost to the Father himself. The Father who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he, along with all things, give us everything else that we need in this life and in the next? See, that's where our faith comes in, isn't it? Faith in the hard times, faith in the tears, faith in the struggles when we're walking through the dark valley. Faith like Abraham in a horrible situation, and yet there in the midst, God provides. God provides in that incredibly big way, the big Bible story of Jesus going to a cross and dying in our place. And as Paul says in Romans, if he did that, can't he take care of everything else as well? That horrible situation, those times when we call out to God, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but I know you are God and I know you are good and I'm learning to trust you. Please give me faith like Abraham because I know you can work even through the most difficult things that I face in my life today. And we can only do that once we've come to see that God the Father has sorted out that big problem first, the biggest problem for all of us. And if he's sorted that problem out, won't he also be there in the smaller things too? So I hope this morning that we're all feeling a little encouraged by this encounter, even though it feels a bit awkward and a bit uncomfortable at times. When things are going well with us, yes, we're encouraged. When things are going not so well, well, I hope you can find some encouragement here too, because Abraham has given us this wonderful example of faith against all uncertainty, with this central idea to keep on trusting God, even in those difficult times, even when we can't see how God is going to sort this thing out for our good. Because as we've seen with Isaac, God himself will pay the price of sacrifice. He really is the God who provides. Let me pray for us now as we sit together. Father, thank you for your word to us today and for its encouragements. Thank you for the example of Abraham and his faith in you, doing that impossible thing and yet in obedience to your command, going with it, even though he didn't know how things would turn out. Lord, help us as we face those hard times in our own lives. Give us the faith of Abraham, we pray. Help us in obedience to your call and your command. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made a way through Jesus, taking our place on the cross, that great substitute, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And so we thank you for him, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to stand up now and sing our final hymn this morning, the place where all our hope and faith is resting in Christ alone. My hope is found. Let's stand up as we sing together.